Hey team, welcome back to the show. Today it is Coach Natalie and I talking about how to use mini cuts for rapid fat loss. Mini cuts are a topic people always love talking about. Mini cuts are fun. They're also often misused, but really like this is top of mind right now. I had a couple clients who just wrapped up a mini cut. I am personally in a mini cut as well. So I'm like, 9 days into a mini cut actually for my honeymoon to Egypt. So I thought it was a really cool, be a fun topic to kind of just talk through. One of the phases of nutrition we don't talk about as much. Again, I think they're often misused. And so I always want to be careful talking about these because I think that they're an attractive idea for oftentimes for individuals who shouldn't be doing mini cuts. But again, when used correctly, they can be a very helpful tool in the phases of nutrition we use to create your best body composition. So again, I'm currently in a mini cut. I'm 9 days in, leading up to my honeymoon. So we've been building. I posted about my building phase recently for the better part of 14 months. Just been building up about 26 pounds from my low, my recovery weight post photo shoot. So actually, I mean, from that photo shoot, I'm up 42 pounds actually, but I'm pretty happy with her body composition. I was a tiny person for that, and I've definitely built a lot of muscle tissue since then. Really, really happy with where I'm at considering that actually. But
how long are you guys looking to take that? How long are you
mini cut?
Yep.
So it's going to be 4.5 weeks. So again, we're leaving for Egypt on March 10th. And I just started, we're recording this on the 16th, and I think I started it on the 9th. The 7th. So again, going to be 4.5 weeks and we're probably going to drop something like, I would assume probably around 12 to 14 pounds. But again, some of that's going to be water weight. Some of that's going to be glycogen. But anyways, I think it's best to kind of just get into what mini cuts actually like from my perspective. So again, like we were previously what we were doing on my rest days, I was eating about 24 to 2500 calories, if I'm correct. On my training days, I was eating 4100 calories. And then I had 1 day a week where I was closer to 5000 calories. I think it was actually like 4850. So calories were pretty high in the building phase, but rate of gain wasn't actually too quick by any means. Again, we were building for a very long period of time there. And we cut things back to, for the first 9 days, I had been at 2,800 calories on training days, 2,200 on rest days. And then I'm doing 35 minutes of cardio on my rest days, 25 minutes of cardio on my training days. And those are included within 12,000 steps per day. But I'm also in a situation where it's like, I have a walking pad and an incline treadmill, both in my office. So I can like work and do my cardio at the same time. So it works very well for me. But a little bit about what I'm doing. So to get into what is a mini cut? So as you may have gathered, a mini cut is a short, aggressive fat loss phase. It usually lasts for about 3 to 6 weeks. And in a mini cut, we're aiming to lose about 1 to 1.5% of body weight per week. Before we get into the kind of why use a mini cut, what the application are, is there really anything else you want to add to that? I feel like it's a pretty easy definition.
I know. I feel like mini cut is so buzzy. Mm-hmm. You know, it really catches a lot of attention. And, you know, I get a lot of questions from clients like, well, can we just do a mini cut? You know, so I think this episode will be a really good one.
Would also be hilarious if they were called tiny cuts. when we're getting into mini cuts, that's what they'd be called if they're for you. When we're talking about why use mini cuts, we really have two different types of mini cuts. So first is going to be an intra building phase mini cut. So meaning it is within a building phase, very similar to what I'm doing here, right? So I've been building for the better part of 14 months, quick 4.5 week mini cut. After we get back from Egypt, I am going to go right back to building because I want to get more jacked. And really this is the most common type of mini cut. I would say I use the second type pretty frequently as well, but this is probably the most common use. So the application here is, we don't want to interrupt the momentum of a building phase. Building phases are very much something that it takes a couple months in a building phase for you to really start seeing the momentum, right? Where we're really like, if we change any movements, like coming out, transitioning out of the fat loss phase, until we really start to see those progress well, until we really start to see like, oh, wow, I am accruing some tissue, right? It's really like a couple months in to us really being intentional with the building, like eating plenty of food, fueling you well, recovering your biofeedback. It's really a couple months after that point that we really start to see, I really start to see clients hit their stride and start to see quicker progress and like, oh, wow, we really are starting to make some gains. Like my client, Josh, is someone who comes to mind here actually, where well, we wrapped up his fat loss phase like 3-4 months ago and we reverse dieted out. Biofeedback is in a good place. But now, just now it's like, damn, like we're really starting to hit our stride focusing on making some lean gains now. But again, we don't want to, so we're in a building phase. We don't want to interrupt the momentum of the building phase, but you might need to drop some body fat because maybe your body fat is creeping higher than we want from a physiological or psychological health perspective, right? So again, especially when we're getting towards, because building muscle does take a long period of time, right? When we're getting into like, hey, it's been 8-10 months of building, did you have something you wanted to add, or were you just raising your hand?
I was raising my hand because I didn't want to interrupt.
Go ahead.
But I will. No, I like to describe building phases as kind of like a snowball. Mm-hmm. You know, like it really does kind of like pick up steam and build momentum. Yeah. And so that's just, I think, helpful perspective for people. Like when you're starting out on a build, like this is going to take time. Mm-hmm. And, you know, like you said, it really takes quite a while, like a couple months to get everything in place in terms of your nutrition, like having enough time and data to zoom out to assess things like rate of gain, you know, right. Really like the effects that, you know, on your physique, making sure training's in a good place, like movement selection, and things of that nature. So, it is generally something that you just don't, mm-hmm. if it's a building phase done right, it is just one that you don't want to disrupt that momentum.
Yeah. Yeah. And again, like I've made so much progress in my last building phase, but again, it's been 14 months of that. Right. So that just does take a lot of time, but there will, and this will depend on the client, right? For some individuals, we talked about this a lot. A lot of people don't need to actually like go much past that, like building and maintenance. Right. But if it is like, as we get more and more advanced to where, hey, we are going to need to accrue some body fat for us to effectively build muscle, you will of course gain body fat over time. And we'll typically get to a point where either it's like, man, physically, I'm just not comfortable here anymore. And sometimes we have to be okay with that. Honestly, still the point where we do a mini cut is like a little bit further than where most people want it to be. But also from a physiological health perspective, as we gain body fat, we might see signs that insulin sensitivity is getting worse, which will equal worse nutrient partitioning. So basically when we're talking about nutrient partitioning, we're talking about the ratio of calories that are partitioned to muscle versus fat gain. And over time, as we gain, and this kind of goes into the idea of P ratio, but the theory behind this is, and there is some debate on this, but I will say an anecdote, I still definitely see this. The theory is like, as we get to a higher and higher body fat percentages, more of the calories we take in will be partitioned towards fat gain versus muscle gain. So we'll gain a disproportionate amount of body fat versus muscle. So getting to too high, now that like point is higher than a lot of people think it is before we would have to be concerned about that. But still, we will get to a point where nutrient partitioning is worse. And at that point, you will often see things like, hey, maybe, and again, this will vary a lot from person to person, but you might be feeling sluggish after meals. Maybe your pumps are getting worse in the gym, or we just notice like, hey, suddenly we're gaining body fat at a lot quicker rate and our gains seem to have slowed. Natalie, do you have a question?
No, I was waiting for you to finish so like I could add on to that.
Thank you for raising your hand. Go ahead and add in.
I also wanted to add, keeping a close eye, as always, on things like digestion. What's happening with digestion? Is that still in a good place? Because, you know, you're a great example. I think your digestion's in a good place, but you're always a good example of someone who's like eating almost 5,000 calories, like in a build. You know, when you start pushing food that high, this is, you know, to the point where you're eating more than is comfortable. Right. And so we can start to see some things along with these other signs, like slower gut motility. And so that's a big sign as well. Which is also a big indicator that we're not going to be partitioning nutrients properly. And then also I would add to that, appetite. Now this one is a little meh, you know, because if you're truly eating that much, then probably not that hungry. But you know, if your appetite is just like totally shot, then this can be a really effective tool to kind of like reset things like your appetite, your digestion, and yes, insulin sensitivity as well.
Absolutely. Yeah. That's a big one too, because, and again, it will depend on the person. I think also for me in the past, when it's like, honestly, eating like though, like 4,000 calories a day hasn't been hard because I've been so much better about spacing my meals out throughout the day. Whereas in the past, when I was in building phases, a lot of times I would just like drink a protein shake in the morning, hardly eat like anything in the morning. And then at the latter half of the day, I'd be like, shit, I have to eat like 3,500 calories. And then that was when it was like, oh my gosh, I have to continue eating. I haven't felt like that once, I would say, in like the last year, because I haven't done that. But there will still definitely, like, my client Phil, someone who comes to mind, where he's 160. We actually just took him through a mini cut. Shout out to Phil. He's such a great dude. But he's 160. He walks like 7,000 steps a day, and he has to eat more food than I do to gain. It's ridiculous. So for him, he is someone where we have to occasionally use mini cuts just to, because it's like, dude, I just had to eat so much food. Now, again, like, you hear a lot about that, like, quote unquote hard gainer. And application, yep. I don't really see that very frequently, but he is a good example of that. But again, I think that's kind of the exception rather than the rule. But those are great points about like the digestion too. If your digestion is off because we're eating so much food and we're, again, like having digestive issues, we're not assimilating and using those nutrients as well. So really the goal of this first type of mini cut is primarily to potentiate more time for building, right? It is not necessarily like, hey, I want to try to get shredded. You probably won't, you probably shouldn't get shredded with a mini cut, unless you're Brandon DeCruz, who I feel like every time I've seen him start, every time I've seen him start a mini cut, I'm like, dude, you were shredded to start.
I think he just perpetually stays in striking distance.
Yeah. My man crushes it all the time. So, but most of the time we're not going to be getting like just to the point where you're shredded in a mini cut. Again, it's a very quick. Basically the goal is, hey, we're going to strip some body fat off in a very quick time frame. And it should be quick enough that we're probably not really dramatically interrupting the momentum of the build, and we can get right back to building. But you can also often time this to simultaneously improve appearance for an event. So again, like, it's convenient if it's like, oh, and also Jeremiah, you're going to be going on your honeymoon. We could probably use a mini cut regardless. So let's go ahead and take one now. I'm sorry if I just burped into the mic. Do you have any client examples you feel like would benefit us here, Natalie?
I do. Two clients come to mind. First is Alex, which you actually posted about recently on a post on Instagram. Alex is just like perpetually in a build, which is fabulous. Like, we love it. He just like, he wants all the muscle.
He's jacked too.
Yeah. CrossFit background, switch him over to hypertrophy, and we've seen some like really, really awesome results. And he's just such a hard worker too. So, at this point, we did his mini cut about a year ago. So he's been building before then and since then. So this was a brief interruption. And I think with Alex, we took off about 10 pounds in 3 weeks.
Yeah. You guys were going hard.
Yeah, we went hard, and like there was, you know, we had a lot of lead up beforehand on the mental side of things, like, all right, get ready for the big play here kind of thing. Mm-hmm. But that's kind of the whole point, right? Short and sharp. Right. And I know you're going to get into this a little bit later, but like in 3 weeks, like we're not really going to be in danger of losing an appreciable amount of muscle at that point. Right. So yeah, he's a really good example. And the physique change we saw in 3 weeks was like, was super great. And then it was just, you know, reverse, like kind of very, if you can call it that, right? Like quick kind of jump back up, right back into building, where he's been ever since. And honestly, we're at this point, we're talking about possibly another approach like that, ahead of summer, because he just loves building so much. And like, honestly, biofeedback is in such a great place that like, we just haven't had to, which is very cool. And then the other example that comes to mind would be my client, Jen. So shout out to Jen. She's also been building since
October. So much progress too.
Yeah. October 2022. And I posted about her before on my grid, if you're curious, kind of just some like building updates for Jen. Like, so you can kind of take a look at those and see like what it looks like to like go through a build, at least for Jen, because it won't be the same for everyone. But you know, we kind of got to a point where, you know, body fat was like creeping a little bit higher. Scale started taking off a little bit faster than I wanted to. And so we pulled it back. And we went about 6 weeks with Jen. And we got about something like 6 to 8 pounds. And then again, right back to building.
Yeah, I've found a visible progress for her as well. And also like the 6 to 8 pounds, like she's a little lighter with body weight than Alex. So relative to her body weight, like they both lost a large amount in those time frames. Okay.
I'm not saying you should do this for this reason, but it is cool. Like one of the coolest things about a mini cut is, you know, everyone's greatest fear is that they're going to spend all this time building and have nothing to show for it. Right. So it is kind of cool to take someone through that. And they're like, oh, I guess I have put on muscle. And it's like, yeah, exactly.
Yeah. And also to show someone that look how quickly you can lose body fat. Like it's so scary to be like, what if I gain 5 pounds of body fat? And it is cool to show someone 3 to 4 weeks, you can lose that body fat. And we have all this additional muscle you gained. We're right back where we started this build phase as far as your body fat goes. And you're more jacked than you were. Like that's a pretty cool thing to see.
It is very cool. But not a reason to do this, by the way.
Word. So the second type of mini cut is going to be the pre-fat loss phase mini cut. Now, I often will call this just an aggressive fat loss phase. But this is something I know all of us use this. I use this a lot more frequently with clients who I've worked with for a while, who I know can handle a more aggressive diet, and we know how their body will respond. I don't do this with a client who is, it's almost always I've taken this client through at least one fat loss phase before. I never am going to start someone out and like, hey, the first thing we're going to do is this approach, right? Again, like my client, Phil, is someone who comes to mind, or like Natalie, when I was coaching you, this is something I would have done with you. Or again, like definitely the more advanced clients is who this is applicable for, but
have experience tracking
right.
And like
right.
So much consistency, like right. Leading up to this consistency at maintenance, consistency with previous, diets and whatnot. Right. This is a huge, huge, huge important part of this approach.
Absolutely. And I will say this almost always comes exclusively after a true building phase, right? So again, it's very rare that it's like, hey, we're just going to start here. This is almost always like we've spent months and months in a building phase, but now we're going to get into a longer diet, right? So the goal isn't just like, hey, a mini cut to potentiate more building. The goal is, all right, let's shred down after probably like a year or more of building. So this is almost always actually just the start of the diet slash at the end of the building phase. So here in this time frame, basically what this is a hard push to get a lot of body fat off. I'll talk through the more of the details of this in a moment. We'll take a couple week diet break typically, then we'll get into a slower, more conventional fat loss phase to finish things out. So here at the end of something like a building phase, we're in a good position to lose very quickly without risking much muscle loss because body fat is higher, right? So the leaner you are, the more likely we are to lose muscle as we lose fat, like when we're losing at a quicker rate. Now, also in those first couple weeks after a building phase, after we've been eating a large amount of food for a long period of time, the cool thing is we can also push calories pretty low without really seeing extreme hunger or training performance suffer like we would see later in the diet. Whereas like when you're pushing hard late in the diet, you're just tired, you don't have much energy. And again, even if we're not losing very quickly, we'll often just, as we're getting lean, it'll be a lot harder. Whereas at this point, again, that like first month is kind of like this magic zone where even when calories are pretty low, people still like feel pretty good. We can push pretty hard and even like oftentimes progress pretty well. So I really like to use a more aggressive approach like this at the start with more experienced clients. And usually what this will look like is 2 to 4 weeks of pushing very hard. And we'll again talk about like rate of loss and things like that in just a moment. And during this time, we're also usually following a meal plan very closely. This is important because if we're like doing too much flexible dieting, just winging it, again, that's when it's like we're not mindful about our nutrient timing. We probably are going to feel like shit in our training, or you're going to be extremely hungry. I know even like with your mini cut with Alex, like his hunger, I remember him saying his hunger was like a 10 out of 10, right?
Yeah.
Go ahead.
No, he was so hungry.
And that's like, I know that like you can see crazy visible changes in his progress pictures for 3 weeks, but yeah, he was 10 out of 10 hunger. So if we're playing the flexible dieting game, you're going to have a bad time. So almost always, again, we're going to be following a meal plan here. And I will typically frame this up as like, hey, we're going to get a lot of the fat loss phase done in a short period of time. So this is going to be a lot quicker than it would be if we just took a slow conventional approach. But we're going to have the grind for a couple of weeks here. Probably really going to try to avoid like as many meals out, alcohol and things of that nature as much as we can. Then from there,
trips.
Yeah, it's also, that's a good point as well, where it's not a good time to like, if you're going to have a lot of vacations, trips, things of that nature, like we have to very much look at where the client is at.
Yeah.
and make sure this aligns well. Now from there, I really like to take a 2-week diet break from there. What this does, we have pushed pretty hard. And again, a lot of times by this point, people have lost like 5% of their body weight. So within this point, taking a diet break, bringing calories back up to maintenance, it'll mitigate fatigue, reduce hunger, increase their energy. Basically, we will reduce a lot of those negative adaptations we saw at the start of the diet and just have people feeling good again. And then from there, we'll get into a slower, less aggressive diet with things like more consistent refeeds and the like. So again, like a more traditional, like, hey, maybe we're trying to lose like 0.5 to 0.75% of your body weight per week versus like 1.25 to 1.5 per week. And this approach allows us to get a lot of the fat loss phase done very quickly without risking muscle loss or really quote unquote suffering as much. I also will say like after like 4 to 6 weeks, like with as hard as we're pushing in a mini cut, people, not everyone, but most people will struggle to be this dialed in for more than about 4 to 6 weeks. Mm-hmm. And then the slower approach later on allows us to get the rest off while being more flexible, supporting hard training and maintaining muscle tissue, right? If we were pushing this hard the entire time, again, in more than like 4 to 6 weeks, we probably would start seeing muscle loss. People would feel like shit. They wouldn't be able to sustain it. I feel like Noelle's wedding prep. Didn't you guys actually do something like this?
We did. She is also someone who had, you know, we'd done a previous diet together. I worked with Noelle, by the way, for now, like over 2 years, maybe even 3 years at this point. So I know Noelle very well. Right. And I know what she's capable of. And, you know, as a client, as an athlete, like I kind of know, you know, how she's going to do with some of these things. And so she was getting ready for a wedding. And we decided after like a year or more of not dieting, which again is a key point here. We wanted to do like kind of a mini cut, like prior to the fat loss phase, leading up to her wedding. And we went about 6 weeks and the goal was about 6 to 8 pounds. And we got off 8 pounds in 6 weeks, and she did take a work trip. I will say not desirable at all, but like I tell you, like she was dialed in and focused and we made it work. And we were in pretty constant communication about some things like dinners out, you know, for work and everything. Now this is a great contrast to my earlier example of Alex, right? Because like Alex was 3 weeks.
Right.
And then to your point about, you know, hey, we kind of start to see consistency and adherence suffer after like that 4 to 6 week mark.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so, and this is a great reason because like how many people have literally nothing going on for like a 6 week stretch?
Not very many. Yeah.
Right. Right. So, but you know, again, Noelle extremely motivated, for her wedding. And at this point also very experienced, we were able to successfully do this.
Yeah, no, she nailed it. She was shreddy for the wedding. And it's been crazy to see everything that Noelle has accomplished too. Another one coming from a CrossFit background where like that change in hypertrophy, Noelle's so funny too, but you guys have done incredible work. So when we're talking to get more into the X's and O's of how to set again, so that's kind of, again, like these two different types of mini cuts. We have the intra building phase mini cut. We have the pre fat loss phase mini cut. Again, both almost seem to be more, I would say, are typically more exclusive to people who have spent a long time focusing on eating more food and building. I think that's an important point to take away. These are for sure, like for someone who is more experienced and a little bit more advanced. When we try to do this, if you try to do this and you're like brand new to all these things, I often find it just doesn't go very well. So how quickly should you lose in a mini cut? Again, as we mentioned, the leaner you are, the higher risk of muscle loss we'll see. So we need to take this into account when determining the target rate of loss. If you're already extremely lean, you probably shouldn't be doing a mini cut in the first place. Again, we're probably kind of like looking at this for the wrong reasons. But in general, we'll want to see the client losing about 1 to 1.5% of their body weight per week. And really, there's an inverse relationship between the depth and the duration of the mini cut. So the more aggressive we are, typically the shorter we want it to be. Whereas if it were a little bit more conservative, it would typically be a little bit longer. So we probably don't want to lose more than about 5% of our total body weight in a 6 week period. And again, I wouldn't push a mini cut longer than 6 weeks. So if we're looking at like, hey, Maybe we're losing, and I mean, see, we could probably push that up to about 6%, but I wouldn't want to push it much past that. But if we're losing like 1% per week, okay, we probably push it out to about 6 weeks. If we're losing like 1.5% per week, that's typically we're going to aim more like, hey, maybe we're going to cap it at like 3 to 4 weeks. Like, again, speaking of Phil, like we just took him through just like a quick 3 week mini cut. We got so much done in that time frame that he's basically like back to pretty similar where he was when we entered his reverse diet like a year ago, and we're in a good place again, right? But again, we can get a lot done very quickly when we follow this well. Anything to add to rate of loss before we get into the macros, nutrition setup? Mm-hmm. Cool. All right. So really, we want to determine our rate of loss first, because your calories are going to be set up around your target rate of loss, right? So if we know, okay, I was eating, we've talked through this a lot, but we can assume, again, eating about 3,500 calories below your maintenance intake is going to have you losing about 1 pound per week. So from there, you can determine, okay, like if I'm a 200 pound man, I want to lose about 2 pounds per week, then I should probably eat about 7,500 calories or 7,000 calories below my total maintenance intake per the week, right? So whatever that works out to within your calorie intake for the day. And within this, I almost always am going to take a higher protein approach here, as calories are so low, we are a little bit more likely to start breaking down muscle protein. So I will typically bump protein to at least 1.3 to 1.5 times body weight for many. So for me, again, right around 200 pounds, my protein intake is right around 300 grams. This will also really aid your satiety, right? Hunger is something that we're really trying to keep at bay as best we can in a mini cut. No matter what, there's probably going to be some hunger, but higher protein is going to be very satiating. So that'll help keep you full. And then from there, I'm typically, and again, when we're talking about like fat is very helpful from a like hormonal function perspective, we need plenty of fat to be healthy. But also, if you're not in a good place hormonally, we're not doing a mini cut with you in the first place. You shouldn't be doing a mini cut. So this isn't applicable to that population. So thus, almost always in a mini cut, we're going to be taking a lower fat, higher carb approach. Those carbs, we're really going to be focusing on timing around your training, because we want to make sure you are still performing well, and so that we can maintain all the muscle tissue that you built. As I mentioned before, meal plans are really help here to maximize satiety and also ensure that your micronutrients are being met. In an aggressive diet, one of the hardest things to do is make sure that you are still hitting all your micronutrient needs, right? Because calories are low, it can be harder to get in all those micronutrient food, dense foods we need to really best support the healthiest, most responsive body. We've talked about this a lot the past couple of weeks, but again, I really like the framework of like when I'm helping create a meal plan for a client, I'm probably going to include, and this will depend on the client, of course, probably like some iodized salt, 2+ cups of mixed berries. There's going to be tons of nutrients, fiber, tons of food volume there as well. 2+ servings of non-starchy veggies. I really like the vertical diets, 8 baby carrots, fiber, more food volume, tons of nutrients there as well. At least 1 egg yolk, which is going to be a great source of vitamin K2, choline, biotin. Potato, going to be one of the single most filling foods we can eat. Potatoes are also such a great source of so many different nutrients. Going to be a lot of potassium in there. Greek yogurt, if someone manages it well, which most people do. Again, we're going to get a lot of protein from this. It's going to be very satiating. Calcium, magnesium, tons of other nutrients. I also really like, for a lot of people, programming in an orange. Again, we're going to get a good amount of vitamin C and tons of other nutrients. And the oranges are also very, very high on the satiety index of food. So they're another very, very filling food. And then from a supplementation perspective, just to, as kind of an insurance policy, we're almost always going to want to include a multivitamin, probably some vitamin D and some fish oil to make sure we're getting in our omega-3s. As again, especially if we're taking a lower fat approach, getting in all those, all of your omega-3 fatty acids can be difficult. Also typically going to program lots of big ass salads in here, at least one per day. Again, get a ton of food volume, a lot of nutrients in for very few calories, like a big ass salad topped with like some lean protein, like some chicken, some shrimp, some lean ground turkey is a great option. If you put mustard on there, it just turns into a gourmet meal. So shout out to the mustard salads and all my mustard salad lovers out there. Anything else to add on all that?
Yeah, I want to do a giveaway where like we give something away to our listeners who can go through all of our podcast episodes and tally up the number of times that you have brought up mustard salads.
If somebody actually does that, I will give you a free month of coaching. I'm not even joking. First person to DM me.
Like, who's going to fact check that though?
You, like, I'm assigned. Yeah. We'll assign that to Andrea, actually.
Yeah, good point.
yes. So first person that DMs me that, I got you. Anyways, I also really like to, I personally really like training day and rest day macros here. Again, when calorie intake is so low, no matter what, like your calories are just going to be low. But typically having higher calorie, higher carb days on our training days, more fuel around, and almost always, honestly, like in a mini cut, what this is equates to is just your pre-workout and post-workout meal are bigger. And past that, the rest of the meals typically aren't that different. And we have more carbs around this pre and post-workout meal specifically. Anything else to add on all that? Mm-mm. Cool. Next up, cardio. Now here, I will typically be more aggressive with this. I will say, like, in the intra build mini cut phase, a lot of times I'll just like, hey, we're just going to add in 2 to 3 cardio sessions, probably something like 20 to 40 minutes of walking on an incline treadmill, heart rate between 120 and 140 beats per minute. In the intra build mini cut, I will implement that a lot more frequently, right? Where, okay, cool, we're just trying to get this fat off as quickly as possible. I'm less likely to do so in that like pre-fat loss phase mini cut, because I also have to determine, do I want to keep this in for the client for the entirety of the fat loss phase after this? Whereas sometimes I don't want to like pull that lever quite yet in that pre-fat loss phase mini cut. But in a situation like this, especially, again, we have to look at, when we're looking at low intensity steady state, which would be like what I talked about, like incline walking on a treadmill versus like a high intensity form of cardio, like some HIIT, we have to look at your body's recovery resources, right? Low intensity steady state isn't going to be very draining on, it's actually going to, to an extent, help your recovery. Whereas something like HIIT, like doing HIIT intervals, that is actually going to be, create a lot more further stress in your body. Now, in a situation like this, we already, like, it's going to be a challenge for our body to recover from our resistance training, but recovering from that is so important for us building, or at very least maintaining, muscle tissue. So thus, we don't want to like add something else that's going to kind of be competing for those resources and HIIT. So I really prefer lists here. And then we'll typically just keep someone's steps at 10 to 15K. Anything to add on the cardio front?
Nope.
Okay. So when it comes to, what's that?
Doing great.
Thanks, Natalie. When it comes to training, we want to be sure to keep people pushing hard, because building muscle is also needed to maintain muscle. So we don't want to turn this into like, hey, suddenly you're doing circuit training to try to burn calories. No, like we still need to be focusing on very, very similar. Your training should basically stay the same. That said, it's important to understand that most people advanced enough to implement a mini cut typically won't be building muscle during this time. If you're doing a mini cut, your goal isn't to build muscle during. If you're a good candidate for recomp, probably shouldn't be doing a mini cut. So during this time, I am a little bit more likely to reduce volume and intensity a bit to make sure that the client can recover, because again, our recovery resources are less. So what we can recover from will be lower. There's a fine line between doing enough for us to recover and progress or maintain versus doing too much and that actually hurting our progress. And I really personally, I prefer to pull volume before intensity. So again, I would rather someone like, hey, we're just doing 1 to 2 extremely hard sets. One's kind of extreme. I think of low, like my client Lexi, where like we have taken a more aggressive approach with her fat loss. And actually, like on her lower body days, one of her lower body days, like most of her compounds, I just have her doing one set and she's still like hitting tons of PRs. It's great, actually. But with even 2 sets, it was like, hey, 3 days later, I'm still extremely sore. So which, okay, that's a good sign we need to pull back. But again, I would much rather we pull back on volume versus intensity, and just again do like 1 to 2 extremely hard sets versus doing like 3 to 4 hard sets where it's like we're keeping 3 to 4 in the tank. I'll still almost go ahead. Do you have something to say?
Yeah, my client Tegan comes to mind. Shout out to Tegan, who is on a plane. T Gaines is on the plane to Thailand right now. but it ended up being a 6-week deficit. And we had plans to kind of resuming after Thailand, but we decided we got done what we needed to do. So we kind of wrapped it there. But you know, she's someone who I'm similar to you. I don't immediately go for intensity. I would pull volume. Right. For intensity, because I want to keep that very high. But she's someone who, like, I just had her stay out of the gym for like 1 or 2 days, you know, and I was just like, I pulled her back at one point because she saw a lot of lifts go down. I mean, it's usually you're not necessarily going to have your best training days during a mini cut, I would say. Yeah. So some of this is to be expected. But with her, you know, she's like, oh, like maybe I could just do less. And I was like, no, just, you know what? Like take tomorrow off. Like don't train and like recover. And then we'll get back to it. So that was the approach we used with her.
Yeah. It is so cool to see too with Tegan, and like how much progress y'all have made. I know even like her first fat loss phase, it just like her body just didn't respond. And with the work you guys have done, you guys have improved like her health so much. And now she responded so well. Tegan's shout out to Tegan. You are a badass. Love watching how hard she trains also. And we wear the same shoes when we train. Shout out to the slip-on Vans also. But from there, when we're getting to the kind of what to expect and what to be prepared for, as we mentioned, hunger is going to be high in a mini cut almost always. So you need to focus on maximizing satiety and nutrient density. Really, 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 really not a good time to do much flexible dieting. Energy will typically be lower. I don't like to like plant these things in people's heads because a lot of times you can kind of nocebo someone, but it is normal to feel this way. You are literally in a large energy deficit. Calories are energy. So we're in a large energy deficit. We can't expect hunger or energy to be as high. And this is part of what like that diet break after the pre-fat loss phase mini cut kind of helps offset this. We get people feeling much better. And then it's easier to hop back into like a more normal diet where we will have better energy, better training, et cetera. And then as you mentioned, training can be a bit more of a grind as well. Anything else there?
Yeah. The cool thing about a mini cut is that, you know, even though like we're talking through all of these kind of negative things that you're experiencing, you know, like hunger is extremely high, like energy and training take a hit, you know, sleep can kind of not be your best work there. It's, you know, recovering after that is so much easier and faster than like a long, grindy, drawn out cut and reverse, right? Because like at the end of the day, like, yeah, it's short and sharp. It's really intense. You've got to be focused. It's tiring. It's draining, but it's only a few weeks.
It's like ripping the bandaid off.
Exactly. So therefore on the other side of that, like it doesn't take your body quite as long to catch up, you know, which is so like to your point, you're then ready. Like if you're kind of doing the pre-fat loss, like mini cut, you'll be good to go again. Like in a few weeks time to like drop into a less aggressive phase.
Oh yeah. Yeah. Within a couple of weeks, honestly, like for me, typically within a week, it's like, oh cool. I feel basically back to normal.
Cause it just hasn't been long enough for like all of those downstream effects of like metabolic adaptation to actually like take hold.
And you're also not pushing to like the level of leanness we typically would be in a longer diet. And that's going to be part of that as well. I guess one other thing to expect, I again don't like to plant this in people's minds, but many times your pressing movements specifically, you will see your numbers drop in those. Those are going to be very much impacted by your leverages. So basically how your body moves through space is literally changing as your body gets smaller. So if that is rapidly changing, again, like this pressing movement specifically, sometimes those won't be quite as good. And that's okay. That's normal. But also like if you're focusing on progressing pull-ups, you'll see those go up very quickly because you're a lot lighter. So getting into who might be a good candidate for a mini cut. First, I would say you've been building for at least 6-ish months. Again, we actually need some time to recruit some muscle. We got to make sure we're not just jumping into one whenever we like see the first sign of feeling a little bit fluffy. And you should have gained a decent amount of body fat. Now, this is again a fine line as some people have unrealistic expectations of how lean they should be all the time. And again, like a lot of, we work with almost exclusively women. I know that a lot of our conversations as well are like, hey, we also have to set realistic expectations as far as how lean you can be and consistently feel good, have good biofeedback. And really, like if you are someone who like the floor of as lean as I want to be without feeling like shit is higher than I'd like it to be. I'd like to be able to be leaner year round, but I can't. The way to go about changing that is, okay, if we build more muscle, your body fat percentage will look lower. We're not actually like dipping into that essential body fat. So spending more time building is actually the way to change that if you're not happy with that. But if we're always trying to cut because we feel fluffy, we won't be able to get there. So, and then similarly, those insulin sensitivity points I mentioned before, if we're getting to the point where insulin sensitivity, nutrient partition is deteriorating, then we will want to take care of that. Now, I don't really like to throw body fat percentage numbers out there, but no matter what, even with the disclaimers, people always kind of get attached to the body fat percentages. That's okay. Just keep in mind, these are general recommendations. How everyone will feel, what their health will be like at these percentages is different. But generally, I would say, speaking in very broad generalities, women approaching about 26 to 30% body fat, men approaching about 16 to 20% body fat might be a good candidate for a mini cut. It's really, again, speaking very generally, for the best like metabolic health, preserving insulin sensitivity, to a degree, managing inflammation. I think the Lean Gains podcast with Brandon DeCruz, actually, another shout out to Brandon DeCruz. We talked about this quite a bit. I think that's a couple years ago by this point. Talked about this quite a bit though as well.
It's called the Lean Gains Blueprint.
That's it. I'll link it up in the show notes because he has a really, really good breakdown of this. But when your body fat is higher, inflammation will typically be higher as well. But to keep all those factors in the best range, again, speaking in broad generalities, most women will be in the best place between about 16 to 30% body fat. Most men will be in the best place about between approximately 10 to 20% body fat. And again, there's outliers on both sides there. But again, the thing to remember is a healthy body will be a responsive body that will allow you to build more muscle and make the best progress in your building phase. And then there's the rare situation where I have one client who I've started in a mini cut, like right out of the gate. And that was Kate Howell, who is, I believe you know Kate. He's super experienced. Like, I've been friends with him for years before that. I knew everything he was doing. He transitioned over to me from another coach, was already very dialed in, very similar to like when I started with Brandon, like we started with a mini cut. And I know that's like one of the very much the exception rather than the rule. Any other thoughts on who might be a good candidate for a mini cut before we talk about who might not?
I just can't emphasize enough the experienced client also. Like, again, you're on point with your training, nutrition, tracking, you know, accuracy. Mm-hmm. This is not like, oh, I just got really sloppy in my build.
Yeah.
Now, granted, maybe you did, and maybe we do have to, clean some things up, but, this is really not, it's not for that. Like, yeah. you need to have some experience. You need a track record of consistency.
Yeah. And that's a great point to kind of start. Like, let's just dig into probably who shouldn't be or who isn't a good candidate for a mini cut. If it is like because it can almost like create, we're careful with these things because I think they can almost like start to create a cycle of disordered eating. If someone is, I just get really sloppy in my building phase because I can do a mini cut and then I can like do another, like I can get sloppy and just do another mini cut. And then it's just like, it's almost like yo-yo dieting, right? Where like, hey, every 3 to 4 months, I'm just like back to like dieting super aggressively. And then we don't really make much progress in either direction. We're never really building momentum in that building phase.
Ladies, especially, like, that is not going to go well for your hormones.
Absolutely.
Like, and so you're going to, if that's what you're doing, you will reach a point of diminishing returns where Absolutely. Like every time you go to lose fat, it's going to get harder and harder and harder. Yes. So please do not do this.
Yes, correct. Now, if your goal is recomp, we just finished up the body recomposition series. Your goal is recomp. This ain't it. You need calories and fuel to add muscle tissue. As I mentioned, we're dieting very aggressively here. We're probably not adding muscle tissue in a mini cut. We're probably just maintaining. I know, like, listening to this, it's easy to want the best of both worlds. I could lose super quickly and build a lot of muscle, and that's just not going to go well. This is where we would want to take a much slower rate of fat loss if your goal was recomposition. You're wanting to lose more than 5 to 6% of body weight. I would use a conventional fat loss phase. Again, the exception is kind of like that more experienced client who we use this pre-fat loss phase mini cut for. Similar to what we talked about before, you've dieted in the last 5 months or recently struggled with cycles of overeating and undereating. Again, it's easy to look at mini cuts almost as a way to kind of cheat the system. And okay, I can just kind of like go hard and I don't know, just get too loose kind of. And again, there's nothing wrong with, we all love food. We all love enjoying food. I love eating lots of food. There's nothing wrong with that. But I think if we're turning this into a cycle of, it can become unhealthy when it is like, I am going extremely hard in one direction and then I'm going to like go extremely hard in the other direction. And we're kind of just living in a cycle of that. I think that can become unhealthy pretty quickly. And it's definitely disadvantageous for your body composition. Again, we all love food. We all love eating lots of food. But there can for sure be like, we can use this to almost again, kind of perpetuate a very unhealthy cycle. Finally, you've been building for a
little bit. Forget about maintenance, guys.
Right.
Your only options are not like cutting or building. You know,
that is a great point.
Yeah.
And that's
I see this a lot too, you know, because as we talk about this all the time, how like maintenance is the hardest and it's just the least sexy and therefore the least appealing. It's like, oh, I either want to be like going hard in one direction or the other. And, you know, without like the right kind of motivations and constraints in place, this can turn into the cycle that we're speaking about now. But, you know, don't also use this to get out of learning and practicing maintenance.
Yes, I love that. Good point. And that's, again, I think a lot of times for that person who is in that cycle of overeating and undereating, spending, and this is something you do so well. I always have to give you credit for this. spending a lot of time at maintenance, understand how good your life can be at maintenance, building at maintenance, how good you can feel, how well-fueled you can be, and not having to see like, I felt great in my physique for a week and it's gone. Then I did like a mini cut and it's gone again. But again, like, we can feel good for a very long period of time. You can be well fueled. You can still enjoy your life and plenty of flexibility. Oftentimes, like, that's the best approach for if you do struggle with like those cycles of overeating and undereating. And finally, again, if you've been building for less than 5 to 6 months, similarly, building muscle just takes time. Don't sabotage yourself by trying to diet too frequently. You got to stay focused on the long term. Anything else to add on mini cuts as a whole before we wrap it up?
I'll just tack on, you know, what Coach Angie likes to say about building, you know, and she's like, a great way to think about it is, you know, you're basically going to spend one summer not feeling your leanest.
Mm-hmm.
So to your point, you know, like, if you've been building for less than 6 months, like, please just continue to build, like, suck it up, spend one summer not your leanest. And we'll get you next summer.
Yeah. Angela is a great example. I'm talking about Andrea for everyone. Andrea is a great example of someone, I think, in all regards, like, playing the long game, similar to like what I posted yesterday about her building phase, right? Where that, like, she spent like a year and a half, or her health phase, she spent like a year and a half feeling fluffier, not even in the building phase, in a health phase where now she's ripped in her building phase, but in her health phase, she's feeling fluffier than she wanted to be, not training extremely hard. But she was always like I know that 5 years from now, I'll be glad that I did this. And I think similarly in building phases, like playing that long game, choosing like a year from now, 5 years from now, which of these decisions, like fat loss or staying where I'm at, is would I be happier that I made? I think that's such a great perspective.
If you are not already following Andrea, which you should be, go follow her, because her journey is going to be very cool to watch. She's 4 months into her build. And you know, they have a roadmap, you know, they know she and her coach, they've talked goals, of course. So they know where they're going, but it'll be very interesting to see what sort of happens along the way with Andrea in terms of like, hey, are they going to come up on a point where they need to do a mini cut, you know, or is this going to be sustainable for, you know, how much longer? In any case, like, you'll see this play out in real time with Andrea. So it'll be a really cool one to follow.
Andrea is also such a good example, just watching her stories of what your training should look like. Her training is so good from an execution and an intensity perspective. She doesn't make a big deal out of it, but she crushes it. So definitely follow her. She also prefers to be called Fancy Angie or Amanda versus
Lauren.
But on that note, that is mini cuts. As always, feel free to shoot us any questions. If you have criticisms, DM them to Natalie. You want to work with us? Link in the show notes, and we will catch you guys next time.